The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Ebony Magazine. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to go over, read some of the inserts from Ebony Magazine versus Essence that we usually read during this time period. So on the cover of this Ebony magazine, we have Michelle Obama, and this is where it talks about Michelle Obama soars. Our favorite lady, first lady, discusses life after the White House, rumors of a presidential run, her new autobiography, and rising above negativity. First thing first, let's go ahead and go over the chairman's letter. Power and the people. Whenever we feature the annual Ebony Power 100 list, I am excited to read about the contributions of our honorees. I find myself reflecting on how these esteemed individuals have used this platform to create positive change. For instance, we witness an exchange of power in the arts and entertainment industry as activists in the hashtag MeToo movement demanded that business as usual not be continued. Women saw increased opportunities to helm projects as a result of the movement, started by Tarana Burke, one of our honorees, whose refusal to be shamed and silenced helped galvanize survivors of sexual abuse, rape, and harassment around the world. That's a power move if ever there was one. We saw civil rights attorney Ryan Stevenson, founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, help exonerate more than 125 unjustly incarcerated people and force their country, or this country rather, to confront its history of slavery and lynchings, which have laid the foundation for the mass incarceration of Black and Hispanic people. We watched Black Panther, directed by African-American filmmaker Ryan Coogler and starring a primarily Black cast, become the biggest grossing movie of the year, making $1.3 billion worldwide. It's the kind of power you don't see every day. And even though we don't get our daily dose of Michelle and Barack Obama since they moved on from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, they're continuing to use their influence in other areas, such as developing the Obama Presidential Center on the south side of Chicago and hosting voter awareness rallies around the country. We are fortunate to have Michelle as our cover subject this month. She radiates strength, intelligence, beauty, and elegance as she discusses her new autobiography and her future. And finally, we know that with knowledge comes power. Team members of Ebony embarked on a journey to Ghana where they discovered their African ancestry through DNA. Self-discovery in the motherland was the perfect way to embrace their roots, which is also empowering. Enjoy the issue. Linda Johnson Rice. The Green Effect. And this is coming from the culture section, Our Issues. A millennial sets his sights on becoming the next mayor of Chicago and calls other young people to action. Millennials will soon be the largest generation in the U.S. electorate. But voting is a civic engagement that has seen limited participation from that population. They could sway many elections if more of them exercised their right to vote or ran for political office. Jamal Green seems to be cut from a different cloth. At 23 years old, he has embarked on the momentous quest of becoming the youngest person ever to fill the mayoral seat in America's third largest city. I always thought I could save the world at a young age, but in school I was doing it the wrong way. I challenged the teachers by going against their way of teaching in the system the school put in place, says Green. Raised on the city's south side, Green witnessed his share of gang violence and police shootings. His rebellion against the public school system caused him to be expelled from 9 of the 12 schools he attended. Nevertheless, he believed he could transform politics and education. Through school mentors, he began to work with public organizations and eventually partnered with the city of Chicago as the ambassador of the anti-violence program, Put the Guns Down. The release of the infamous dash cam video showing the 2014 shooting of a 17-year-old Laquan McDonald caused Green to view civic engagement in Chicago politics from a different perspective. After seeing the video, he recalls saying, "I do not want to do anything with the city of Chicago," and he distanced himself from Mayor Rahm Emanuel. The video and what Green and others have described as apathetic response from the mayor compelled him to respond with increased activism, including holding a series of protests around the city. The necessity of political engagement. Although there are many people, or rather young people, who exercise their right to vote, political engagement is viewed by some of them as an ineffective way to bring positive change. Only 51% of them voted in the 2016 presidential election. Green says getting involved in conventional methods of political engagement is essential for young people. We need to be making the decisions in this country. I speak about that everywhere I go to get young people to pay attention to the decisions that are being made, pay attention to politics, and to get involved, to jump in. When asked what it will take for younger people to get involved, the activist explains the significance of political education. "I think education is the most important part when you talk about millennials voting, because we are not taught civic engagement in school. You can ask 10 young people what the mayor or alderman does, and I can guarantee you their answer will be they don't know. Yet we expect them to be excited and part of the political system when they become 18 years old. Political education is the one thing we are definitely missing in minority communities all over the country. We need to be educated on policies and politics. That is why our voter turnouts are low. People don't understand it." One of Green's platform involves police reform. "I organized a protest in front of the mayor's house advocating for police tasers and body cameras. In the McDonald case, the taser unit was a minute away, and they had to call a taser unit to the scene because none of the officers had tasers," he says. "The nationwide killings of blacks by law enforcement officers who are seldom convicted is a passionate topic for the mayoral contender. He states many officers are overcharged for the killings. They should be charged by the state's attorney with lesser crimes such as manslaughter instead of murder, because murder is harder to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. If what they are charged with cannot be proved, they will get off. That happens all over the country," he says. "We have to ask ourselves, was the state's attorney doing this on purpose, or was it a bad judgment on their part? Lots of times I think it was done on purpose, because the state's attorney works with the police and they all collude together. Green believes if we educate ourselves on public policy and law, we will understand how to get the officers convicted. These are the things we need to be educated on, so we can hold people like state attorneys accountable. When you observe violence, you must also observe the amount of investments in communities. We need to see equity in regard to community investments." Benny Williams was the writer of this particular article, and he is a Chicago-based political writer and public policy analyst. Continuing on with culture, hashtag goals. Homegirl rules: need help with getting your stuff together in the new year. We're going to check out the organization. by guru Nikki Boyd. Nikki Boyd has taken the meaning of home-based business to another level. From her initial posting of a YouTube tutorial demonstrating how to build a teacup lamp 7 years ago, Boyd has grown an enterprise, taking followers along as she renovates rooms, organizes, cooks, and cleans at her Charleston, South Carolina home. Visitors to her various At Home with Nikki social media platforms include a blog and YouTube channel, stop in for her tips on cleaning the kitchen, organizing a work bag or school backpacks, or even planning a budget-friendly wedding in fewer than 30 days, an experience Boyd had while helming her son's nuptials. Those checking in on her at work with Nikki videos will find guidance on how to build a website, host successful meetings, and style an Apple Watch. For instance, you can switch up bands, wear a bangle on the opposite arm to balance the look, and coordinate the smartwatch with tech accessories such as phones and pins. In 2017, she stepped outside the walls of her home to provide one-on-one consultations from a new office in Charleston. "I have a passion for home organization," she says. "I wanted to start a professional organizing business where I could help people around their homes, not only in homes in my area, but virtually." Many of the skills Boyd shares with regard to remodeling and organization are ones she picked up as a military spouse while her husband, Mike, was in the U.S. Air Force. Their life was one of the frequent moves, often into small or older spaces. Being a military wife is the best training in the world. You have to come in and in 2 months' time relocate out of the country. I've gained so many skills on how to efficiently care for a home, how to make it a home, and make it feel comfortable for my family when we're in tight situations or really difficult living situations. She says, Boyd, age 47, was always up to the task of personalizing spaces. One of the military base houses we lived in was built in the 1950s or 60s, and it was really old and run down. And I really wanted an office space where I could kind of do things, some crafts and different things, she says. So I took a closet, or took a little closet, and totally transformed it into an office. I built a table in there and an inviting and comfortable for you and your family. That's my skill set. Or which rather, she says, finding creative ways to make your space feel inviting and comfortable for you and your family. That's my skill set. Her 400,000 YouTube channel subscribers and 200,000 Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, and blog followers are a testament. As those numbers grew, major brands eager to connect with her audience of predominantly female consumers came calling. Sponsors have included 1-800-Flowers, Amazon, Hancock Fabrics, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Martha Stewart. Overtures began with free products for review, then turned to sponsored videos. That was exciting for me because I just never would imagine someone wanting to sponsor my videos, the entrepreneur says. Today, Mike, who retired from the service in 2011, is the business manager of her 6-employee operation, and Boyd charges companies $5,000 to $20,000 to back her work. She makes allowances for companies with smaller budgets that she has a desire to link with. Among the standouts has been a Home Depot sponsored project in which Boyd transformed one of her own guest bedrooms into a theater room. She doesn't partner with just anyone with a checkbook. The beautiful thing about this And that's the beautiful thing about this. I can set my rates and I can turn down my rates, she says. I love that about it. Boyd is expanding her brand with the second office in Charlotte, the addition of a candle line to her product of offerings of planners for meals, spiritual growth, blogging, and pregnancy, and a book, Beautifully Organized, A Guide to Function and Style in Your Home, which will be published by Paige Tate Select in early 2019. Might her rivals the lifestyle brands of Stewart and Rachel Ray? That's not out of the question. Boyd says, I never know where my journey is going to take me because I never thought I'd be here. I don't know what's going to happen next. I just know that I'm going to welcome everything that comes my way that I love, she says. But I'm excited about all of the possibilities. Moving on to another section in Ebony under lifestyle, love and relationships. Love story. An enduring marriage set to music, laughter, and friendship. David and Tamla Mann are a love story, and they want to share it with the world. The two known besties, Cora and Mr. Brown from Tyler Perry's plays, movies, and television shows, and for Tamla's gospel hits such as Take Me to the King, have been married for 30 years. Despite some difficult early days, they have stuck together and are now reaping the benefits of hard work and dedication. Tamla and David, both age 52, are pleased to share the story of their success in love and career through their first joint recording, Us Against the World, The Love Project, and a new memoir, Us Against the World, Our Secrets to Love, Marriage, and Family. Topping off their releases, or these releases, the Manns are starring in and executive producing a TV One original movie, Merry Wishmas, which actually aired last month in December. The Manns insist they owe their success and happy marriage to the fact that they are friends as well as lovers. We started out as friends. We fell in love. We started out as friends. Then we fell in love based on that friendship, says Grammy winner Tamla. Being friends, we can work through anything. You can tell your best friend anything. Sometimes he had to pull it out of me. Most women, when you ask what's wrong, they just say nothing. Chimes in David. We as a man have to figure out that nothing I tell people that the reason we've been able to stay together this long is plain and simple. We are in love with each other. I like her and I love her. I don't just love her, I like her. She is my friend. Our friendship with each other just makes it work. As teenagers, Tamla and David were introduced by a friend who thought the two singers should meet. In fact, David was in a singing group with Kirk Franklin. She liked David from the beginning, Tamla says, but he had a girlfriend. He had friends who were nice and thin, she recalls. I was always a thick girl. I didn't think he liked my type. I did like him more at first, but he didn't know it. I just sort of hung around, but I didn't say anything. They spent a lot of time together and became close friends. 3.5 years later, he told her they were getting married. That's right, he didn't ask, he told her. We were hanging out riding in the car, Tamla recalls of that day in Dallas. He just said, we're getting married. I kept driving to his mother's house. We started talking about something else. 2 or 3 weeks went by and we didn't say a thing. Then he asked, did you hear when I said that we were getting married? I said, yes, I heard you, but I just wanted to be sure that in your heart, that's what you want. I didn't want to push the issue. I knew that marriage was what I wanted and that I would be in this for the rest of my life. 30 years later, hallelujah, I knew it. David adds that what sealed the deal was Tamla's comfort with his daughter. I fell in love with him and his daughter, Tamla says. there are many cases where people want the boyfriend or the girlfriend, but they don't want the kids. They come as a package, and I accepted that. She had a wonderful personality even as a baby. I just gravitated toward her. Even to this day, and she's 32 years old, we still have a tight bond. I thank God for that. I really do. The Manns have 5 adult children, Portia, David Jr., Tia, Tiffany, and Sonya. They have 12 grandchildren. Though they are successful now, the couple acknowledges there are some lean years, or were some lean years. There was some tough times, says Tamla. David was a hairstylist in the beginning of our marriage. I was pregnant with our first child. I lost my job at a nursing home, and we were struggling to make ends meet. And I was pregnant, and every kind of potato we could think of, we ate it. David says, we weren't poor. We were just po. We got through it. We had God, and we were still friends. Through it all, laughter was integral to their relationship. We don't always agree. I'm only 80% right, he says, laughing heartily. No, that's not true. So many couples don't sit and have a good belly laugh with each other, he adds. That's important. Yes, laughter really is important, Tamla says. That's one thing I love about my baby, his humor. He picks me up when I'm down. Says David, I can make her the maddest, but I can make her the happiest too. I simply say something when she doesn't expect it to give her a big laugh. She doesn't have high blood pressure, diabetes, none of that. I'm her medicine. I keep her laughing. David's comedic talent was front and center during the 20 City Us Against the World Man Family Tour. The show kicked off with a big party hosted by David Jr., a DJ, followed by daughter Tia, who performed a youthful set. Then David performed a comedy set, followed by Tamala's gospel set. The show finished with a worship set, during which the Manns introduced music from The Love Project. Throughout their careers, David and Tamla have been role models for other couples. Our goal is to bring hope back to marriage and family, says David. Our goal is to make marriage great again, make being married a goal again. With the divorce rate being so high, we want to see people getting married and staying married. We want people to know that you can work through whatever the situation is, he continues. If we can just endure each other a little while and try to get an understanding, you can work through it. Love covers it all. And we want people to know that. And that's the end of that story. So moving on, let's go to the entertainment side, Spotlight. The Deep End. One-time city planner Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is now swimming with Hollywood's big fish as Aquaman villain Black Manta, or Manta, and staying afloat with other hot projects. Sometimes things just don't work out the way you planned. But when your first name is Arabic for John the Baptist and your surname means servant of God, you'll probably be okay even if plans A and B go awry. Hopefully I'm pronouncing this correctly. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, a New Orleans native who grew up in West Oakland, California, initially wanted to be an athlete. He lettered in basketball and track at McClemens High School, then went to letter in track at UC Berkeley, where he studied architecture. And even though he got a great job with the city of San Francisco, Abdul-Mateen underwent a rather radical rebuilding phase and found himself studying acting at the Yale School of Drama in 2012. 6 years later, he's playing Black Manta, a villain in the much anticipated, or rather, the movie has came out. It came out on December the 21st. Sitting by a pool in Los Angeles, where he's filming U.S. Oscar winner Jordan Peele's follow-up to the mega successful Get Out. Abdul-Mateen is still pinching himself over the notion that he's now a successful thespian working with fellow Yellies. Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, the brother who took him under his wing during his Ivy League days. "It's definitely been a ride," says Abdul-Mateen, who first appeared on our radar in the Netflix series, The Get Down. "I'm kind of still on that roller coaster. It was not a part of the plan. Once I left my career in city planning, I just wanted to get a McDonald's commercial in LA because I thought that's how it worked. You get a McDonald's commercial, then you get an extra job in soap opera and then get a line. I've been really fortunate to channel my career in such a way that it gets me in the right role. It's exciting." With Aquaman, he also had to do the right thing for the sake of authenticity. Although he had been a star athlete in high school and college, Abdul-Mateen didn't know how to swim. "I was afraid of water, anything like that. I'd get in the pool and all that, but I just never had any lessons," he says. "I didn't want to be the one who showed up on the day we had to swim across the lake or the pool and couldn't do it. So I took some lessons down in Australia, and lo and behold, I got it down." Given his background, Abdul-Mateen's commitment to excellence is not surprising. He's the youngest of his clan, and marries 6 children. And his parents consistently reminded him that he was smart, an asset to his community, and destined to succeed in whatever he did. Their confidence in him helped Abdul-Mateen rise above some of the obstacles of being a black male in West Oakland, a community that has seen its share of success stories, as well as brothers who never made it out from under. "I was raised in a household where every day I was told by my parents or my support system that they believed in me and that I was capable," he says. "I also had good coaches and mentors along the way. At the same time, I wouldn't necessarily say I made it out of West Oakland. If anything, I'd say that West Oakland is one of those places that we can grow within. I think West Oakland did that. It gave me the tools that I could go anywhere else in the world and still come back." That being said, a black man in America in today's climate presents a different kind of struggle. Abdul-Mateen acknowledges that he's far more cautious when he leaves the comfort and safety of his home. With the likely success of Aquaman, us and HBO's upcoming Watchmen, he may need to put his sisters on the payroll. And although he senses his life is about to change right now, he simply appreciates walking through open doors. "It's really starting to open up my world," he says. "I'm getting more meetings, and the comic book fans have given me love, and it has given me a larger platform to get to know more people and see more places. So far, it's been a great ride." And it looks like that we've actually run out of time today for today's episode of Ebony Magazine. We be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, www.trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.